Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
Financial Survival Network is presented to you by Regal Assets. Buy and sell physical gold and silver through your existing retirement plan 100% tax-free with Regal Assets. If you want to include physical gold or silver in your existing IRA or old 401k, request your free investment kit, which was recently featured in the Forbes and Smart Money Wall Street Journal magazines. Call toll-free 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620, or visit regalassets.com. 1490 WGCH, this is Kerry Lutz. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. And in our current world, energy is really the most important commodity. As we saw during Hurricane Sandy, with lines going miles and miles for gasoline, energy, electricity in short supply, life, modern life as we know it, just comes to a complete standstill, a halt, when we don't have adequate supplies. So it's real important to understand that there's a revolution taking place in the energy field. It's already hit LNG and natural gas, and it's sweeping the rest of the oil industry. And who better to talk about it than the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. How you doing, Mickey?
I'm doing well, Kerry. Had a wonderful weekend in San Francisco at the Hard Assets Conference.
Yeah, I really wanted to be there, but I've done so much traveling lately and still getting settled in here to the new studio that I just felt like I had to, something had to give. But next year I will definitely be there. So how was the attendance there?
I think it was low, basically, because we're in a bear market. But we had a good show, very busy. Lots of people came by the booth, and I had three speaking events and numerous meetings and many interviews. So, and always San Francisco in November is a nice place to be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, my daughter moved out there recently and is loving it. And so it's a good time to be a contrarian about energy and natural gas in particular, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Perhaps as a native of the New York metropolitan area, you can tell me, is it true that about one quarter of the gas stations in the New York City area still have no gas in the pumps?
You know, I've heard that number, but my friends up in New York and Connecticut, New Jersey, tell me they're not any longer having problems getting filled up. They're not waiting on lines. Life is pretty much returning to normal, except for the people who were in the coastal areas, most closest to the ocean. You know, for them, it's going to be a multi-year rebuild process. But don't worry, the government will print money and pay for it, right?
Yeah. Except the FEMA office is closed due to weather, right?
Yeah, well, where are those FEMA agents when you need them? But when they're starting to fill up the camps, they won't be closed, I assure you of that.
Right. But and then we have hundreds of protesters marching around the White House yesterday protesting global warming that's going to come from building the Keystone Pipeline across from southern Alberta across Nebraska and down to the refineries in the Gulf Coast. So and meanwhile we have 18 senators, 9 Republicans and 9 Democrats requesting Obama to approve the permit quickly, basically because of the job situation, and it would lower our Middle Eastern imports. So wouldn't we rather have our oil coming from Canada versus the Middle East?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, that process of reducing imports has been going on for, I guess, about 3-4 years now with the hydrofracking and the increase in energy production, increase, dramatic increase in natural gas liquids, which can just go literally into your gas tank. And it just makes too much sense. But my feeling is Keystone will get approved because this energy revolution is going to be great for the president and his friends. All, you know, there's something like 10 applications pending right now for liquid natural gasification plants and terminals around the country. And with this administration, who do you think is going to get those permits, right?
Well, now that he doesn't have to be reelected again, hopefully we'll see a more sane energy policy coming out of this administration. But still, liquid natural gas is liquefied natural gas is not without its problems. ExxonMobil announced last week that their cost overruns in their plant in Papua New Guinea, of all places, not exactly a geopolitically stable part of the world, but they've had a $3.2 billion increase in the CapEx, up to $19 billion. So, geez, that's a lot of money, Kerry. So these big liquefied natural gas terminals and conversion plants may just be priced out of competition here.
That's a distinct possibility. And I credit things like that happening because of 0% interest rates that artificially increase demand for these projects over and above what it should be, because all of a sudden a lot of marginal projects look viable because the interest expense is so low. And then when they get to actually start building them, all of a sudden inflation kicks in, the price of the cost of developing them skyrockets, and they're left with these huge overruns. And we saw that in Las Vegas when there was a rush to build all those casinos. Building costs skyrocketed by 50% in 18 months. And that's what you see with these other natural resource projects. When you factor in zero for interest, all of a sudden you get increased artificial demand for these projects, a lot of which shouldn't be built, and this is what we wind up with.
Yeah, so we've talked about this before. The real answer are these offshore floating export terminals where you can move them wherever they're needed. And another little news bit I saw last week was a company called Golar LNG is proposing to convert three of these former carrier ships into complete conversion export terminals, each one with a capex of $500 million. So sometimes small is the way to go, even for something that is often looked on as a mega project. And as an analogy, we see the same thing going on in the nuclear power industry right now with small modular reactors.
Yeah, that reminds me of going back a ways. I think it was in Boston. They wanted to take an old decommissioned aircraft carrier and turn it into a parking lot. But the point is, these little floating plants are highly versatile. Like you said, you put them where you need them. They can be moved. They're somewhat transportable. And you keep them way off the shore, so any safety issues are minimized. And they just make total sense, and probably the permitting process with the government is a lot less onerous, too, I would imagine.
Well, I would hope so, and something needs to be done, because especially with North America, where we have landlocked gas, and amazingly enough, gas is now at today, spot price $3.74, up considerably, but still not an economic price that would encourage a bunch of shale gas shutting wells to come back on stream. But you know, that's up quite a bit from the late spring, early summer, when gas was looking at closing around $2 a million BTU. So that's very encouraging. Storage is down. It's down 13 billion cubic feet over the week, but is still 71 billion cubic feet higher year over year. So let's hope for a cold winter in the northeastern seaboard of the United States and Canada.
Yeah, well, you know, I have this theory about the squirrels knowing it's going to be a bad winter because they're like running around in the spring, in the fall, panic stricken, looking for food. And that's exactly what we had this fall in the Northeast before I left. And sure enough, we had our first snowstorm again early November. Last year it was Halloween and it was the only snowstorm, but this year could easily be another kind of real cold winter that that really ups the natural gas consumption, which has been gotten off easy last year, so probably blow off that excess supply.
Well, let's hope so, and let's hope that Obama listens, although with the coming fiscal cliff and the compromise that's being carved out in Washington right now, I don't expect that the Keystone Pipeline is anywhere near the top of his calendar at this point. But, you know, I don't know if you saw, but you're talking about all his buddies that would profit. Certainly Warren Buffett's one of them, Omaha-based, and now the pipeline is proposed to go down eastern Nebraska versus western Nebraska. So certainly we would expect him to be one of the ones that profits. It's interesting to me, he's adamant, Warren Buffett that is, about this $1.6 trillion that the new capital gains taxes and other taxes, including 10% excise tax on tanning salons, is is going to generate. But here's Buffett's economics. This $1.6 trillion in new taxes would up the tax revenues to 19% of GDP. Meanwhile, expenses would go down to 21% of GDP. So this is his solution. We still have a 2% shortfall, which amounts to something like $3.2 trillion. Much like, I don't know if his namesake Jimmy Buffett is any relation at all, but it's obvious they both smoke something.
Yeah, well, you know, that leave it to the government, leave it to these cronies to go looking at go chasing windmills and letting the big prize get away, because, you know, Keystone, it just makes total sense for everyone concerned. It's even a project that an environmentalist should love.
Yes, that's true.
So anything else we got on the energy horizon here? We got the oil prices bumping up a little bit today on September 19th, 2012, right? They were up a bit.
Yes, they were. And so energy issues are looking positive right now. The price of uranium has bumped up a couple of bucks spot price over the last month or so. You know, we've got new hydro fracking technologies coming aboard. I sent you an article recently out of the Albuquerque newspaper about guar gum, and guar is a legume that being looked upon as an answer to hydrofracking problems. It's guar gum is very useful for stabilizing water sand mixtures. So more and more we're going to organic solutions in the hydrofrack industry, despite New York State's attempt to continue their moratorium. The New York State Health Department has hired three university deans to review the health effects of the state's environmental study on hydrofracking. So despite our attempts to go more organic, it's still tied up in politics in your home state of New York.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Cuomo cut his teeth on environmental activism and an intrusive government, and he's not letting it go. You know, when he came in, he said he was going to close Indian Point, the nuclear big nuclear power plant. I think it was the first one, Indian Point 1, which has been decommissioned. First one that was opened in the U.S., and he said he was going to close it. And then all of a sudden they figure out, well, you know what? That's 20% of the New York City metropolitan area's energy, and we can't replace it. There's not enough conventional power, hydropower from Canada, from Quebec to do that. So guess what? Indian Point staying open. They're making all sorts of noises about the licensing process, but in the final analysis, they aren't closing it because when demand is low, the nuclear power plant provides up to 40% of the total demand in the New York metro area. So who are we kidding? So eventually the economics will force Cuomo, because he just lost this big casino deal that was going to bring in billions, which it wouldn't have, but they like to delude themselves. Hydrofracking, natural gas extraction will bring to New York State billions and billions of dollars over the next 20 to 40 years, and yet they can't move off the stick and do it.
Yeah, well, ask the people along the Jersey Shore and on Long Island and Rockaway there how important it is to be able to turn on a light switch and you've got electricity at night.
Yeah, well, that's just supposed to happen, Mickey. It's just, you know, it's always worked, so it always will work, because nobody in this, no progressive seems to understand that history actually goes back a long way. It didn't just start this morning when they woke up, and it's not ending when they go to sleep tonight. Or another example is they believe that history started the day they were born and nothing happened before then. And, you know, this is just, it's lunacy. And unfortunately, the boom has enabled them to carry on this charade much longer than they would have been able to had energy supplies been in short supply all this time. So we got to wrap up, Mickey, but we find you at mercenarygeologist.com. And what are your other sites again?
Mercenarygeologist.asia, at mercenarygeo on Twitter. And as always, this interview can be heard on mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right, and you can always find all of our extensive interviews on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Mickey, we'll talk to you, I guess, the week after next and review the month and see what really happened.
And what an interesting month it's been so far. So I look forward to talking to you soon, Gary.
Hey, you too, Mickey. Be well.
Thank you.
Fortuna Silver Mines is now a show sponsor. Under President and CEO Jorge Ganoza, it's quickly becoming a world-class silver producer with two operating mines and extensive property holdings in silver-rich Peru and Mexico that will help fuel future growth. Started in 2005, it's gone from just 5 employees to over 1,500 today, while keeping its commitment to social and environmentally responsible operations. As of the third quarter of 2012, they've hit 80% of anticipated silver production of 3.7 million ounces and 94% of expected gold production of 17,400 ounces. By mid-2013, the production rate forecast is 5 million ounces of silver and 26,000 ounces of gold. Fortuna is currently seeking accretive M&A opportunities in the Americas. Fortuna is a proven winner with rapidly rising production into the foreseeable future. Their ticker symbol is FSM on the New York Stock Exchange and FVI on the TSX. For more information, click on their logo link on financialsurvivalnetwork.com or go to fortunasilver.com. Join Fortuna Silver Mines' record of outstanding success.